This is The 10th Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The 10th Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
Hello, KKFI listeners, and welcome to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The 10th Voice. I'm Una, here with my co-host Fiona.
Hello.
And our co-host Anthony.
Hello.
And of course, we have Linda Wilson, our sound engineer and producer of The 10th Voice, who's, I've stolen her microphone, so we can't hear her. You could just imagine her sitting there holding court over our studios today. We're going to start the show off with the Transgender News of the Month, also known as Una's News Rant, and then we will speak with Freddie Dolphus, who recently spoke at both the Kansas City Demonstration for Transgender Rights and the Transgender Day of Remembrance. Freddie is a licensed physical trainer and martial artist, and he wants to start a gym for women of color and the LGBT community somewhere in the urban core. Then we will be joined by Safira Pacholoiko. I just love that last name. Pacholoiko. It sounds very civilized and everything.
Aristocratic.
Very aristocratic. Yes, that's the word I was looking
Victorian.
For.
Victorian.
Safira Pacholoiko. To have a group discussion about the two recent transgender events along with Freddie and everyone here, and what we could do to build on that momentum to increase transgender visibility and the sense of community. For the next segment on Trans Talk, we're going to be speaking with Freddie Dolphus, a transgender person of color who recently spoke at the Kansas City Demonstration for Transgender Rights and the Transgender Day of Remembrance. Freddie is actually a veteran of this show. He's been on once before, I think in 2016. He's also a licensed physical trainer and martial artist, and he wants to start a gym for women of color and the LGBT community in the urban core. And he's here to talk a little bit about his life and his ambitions and just share with us. Freddie, welcome to Trans Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So great to have you back here. And I just wanted to know if you could start by introducing yourself to the audience a little bit.
Ooh. Well, I'm Freddie. Born and raised in Kansas City. Started in fitness in college. I had actually battles with depression, so fitness was an outlet for myself that wasn't completely negative. And then I just fell in love with it. I would go to the gym almost every day, which is normal now, as I tend to go to the gym every day now. But then I came back to Kansas City. I was down at Missouri State, down in Springfield. Springfield is interesting, but I had to come back home, and it just sort of continued. I started going into martial arts. I had a couple of friends at UMKC. We would go into the rec room and do jiu-jitsu, do boxing. And then I found a boxing gym, joined a boxing gym. After the first class, I couldn't raise my arms to eat. It was that type of sore. And I was like, I love this.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, man, I got a workout in. So I just sort of kept at it. The coach was like, you seem like a natural, you know, you want to box? And I was like, sure. My mom wasn't thrilled. She's like, oh, shoot. But
you were telling us about when you were first introduced to boxing.
Yeah, so boxing is quite a sport. It sort of led me deeper into the rabbit hole of fitness. just because boxing is so honest. It's very brutal. Because you're the only one in the ring. It's not like a team sport where you can sort of blame someone else for slacking off. So I started doing boxing, and then I was getting ready for my first boxing tournament, started doing mixed martial arts. So right after my first boxing tournament, did my first mixed martial arts match, then messed up my knees 3 years from being off. Had three knee injuries back to back to back.
Ouch.
Don't recommend that for anyone. But I, you know, done jiu-jitsu, currently a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm more of a boxer, Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter if it comes to MMA. I prefer my hands over my legs, especially considering my knees.
So can you tell our listeners how Brazilian jiu-jitsu is different from normal jiu-jitsu and what jiu-jitsu really is?
So jiu-jitsu is a ground grappling sport. So it's very similar to wrestling. It has aspects of wrestling, judo, to get it to the ground. It's mostly a ground sport. So once the action hits the ground, it sort of stays on the ground. And the traditional jiu-jitsu and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, there are still some similarities. There's some minor differences. But jiu-jitsu, they call it the human chess. So you really are structuring a strategy. And I tell people Brazilian jiu-jitsu is one of those sports that there's no one body type. You know, basketball has a body type. Football has a body type. Jiu-jitsu, if you go into a jiu-jitsu gym, you will see so many different body types, which is why I fell in love with it, because I didn't have to be big and strong to choke someone out. I could choke someone out, and, you know, back then I was a buck 30, and I would choke out 200-pound men. And that was just a normal day at the gym, because you start using people's strengths against them. So you end up getting guys that are the meatheads that do bodybuilding. They're like, okay, I got this. And they're thrashing and all over the place. And you're like, okay, I just wait it out. Just wait it out. All right, I get to choke you now. Because they're exhausted. They use all their energy. And when you start playing sports, especially martial arts, you start understanding, okay, how can I effectively use my energy to meet my goal? And that's sort of how you end up having that discipline, because you can't just, oh, I'm strong. Doosh. You have to be more calculated than that.
We were taught the same thing in fencing. That was also done and told to us that it was a stress chess game. A stress game. But it can be stressful sometimes.
Yeah.
When you get on the strip and suddenly the adrenaline hits you and it's like, these aren't real weapons. Why have I got so much adrenaline? And that's another thing, controlling that rush of adrenaline, just to keep your mind in there and keep strategy and reactions.
So that's how you started into these type of sports. Where do you want to go from here? What are your goals with these sports?
My goals, I really want to have a boxing, like a fitness gym for the LGBT and for women of color. Being a personal trainer, I sort of analyze a lot of people when I'm at gyms. And fitness is a very white and is very male-centric. And then it can even be more white and more white women-centric. It doesn't really fall for people of color, nor for the LGBT community. So when I see fitness, I see it as a way of us understanding how our body moves. And being in the marginalized communities, we typically say our bodies are wrong, or we need to look a certain way, or we need to be like someone else. And when we constantly have those messages, we start doubting our own bodies. So when we're trying to do physical activity or anything else, our honest selves don't come out. We're trying to pretend to be someone else. The thing about sports is, which I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan, he always talked about honestly expressing yourself. In sports and anything you do, you're actually doing that constantly. However, I'm trying to get it to the point where we're doing it constantly without doubting ourselves, because that's pretty much what we're doing. We're constantly doubting, am I doing this correctly? Am I presenting myself correctly? Am I doing this right?
Do you want to talk about some struggles you've seen and some struggles you've had about trans individuals going to gyms pre-transition, in transition, after transition? What sort of challenges that we face whenever we try to go to a gym?
The challenges, there's tons. Especially
there are a ton.
Fitness is very, very much like the medical community. It's very gendered. So you have male and female. There's no in between. So if you're non-binary, you know, that's already a strike against you. If you're, you know, pre-hormones, anything, it already becomes a challenge, because, you know, you're trying to go into a man's bathroom or you're trying to go into a woman's bathroom. And it becomes, you know, the gym, unfortunately, we don't get to regulate who goes to fitness centers. So you end up getting all those crazy people. But not only that, in regards to fitness, a lot of trainers pigeonhole people into certain stereotypes or fitness regimens, saying that only women would want to do this, so you just do cardio and you don't hit the weights. If you're a guy, well, you need to hit the weights. You need to be big. You need to get huge. And the thing is, the funniest thing, because even at my own gym that I work at, I have a design shirt for me that says trainer, so everyone knows I'm the trainer, yet I have coworkers that are bigger than me. So, you know, 6 foot, you know, maybe 200 pound dudes, and I get passed by and they're like, so he's the trainer, right? And I'm like, no, actually, that's me. They're like, well, you're not that big. And I'm like, who says I have to be big to be a personal trainer? I'm like, fitness doesn't revolve around bodybuilding. And I think that's the big...
It's about health.
It's about health. And health is a long-term activity, which I try to tell people. It's not a short-term sprint. You're in it for the long haul. And especially with, you know, a lot of people that come into the gym, they're like, okay, I want to look like this, or I want to look like this dude. I'm like, you're not going to look exactly like that person. You're a totally different person with different muscles.
It's the same thing as getting a haircut. If you don't have curly hair, you're not going to have curly hair.
Exactly.
Have you heard of perms?
Still.
Yeah, it was still come out a little different. I'm like, I tell
people. And if you have curly hair, really curly hair, don't try to straighten it. It doesn't work.
It hurts.
It burns your hair. But... yeah, there's even a trans, I believe a trans man gym mm-hmm. in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But I don't, even as a trans man, I don't feel comfortable going to that because I'm not going to take hormones. And I'm not about muscles, I'm just about being healthy, like you said. But at the same time, I'm like, if I'm going to these other gyms, it's a complicated juggle. It's a circus.
It can be a circus, and that's why... You know, me opening my gym, and usually when I tell people, when I'm training them, work on what you want. You know, don't try to chase everyone else's goals. Do what is best for you, because this, you're going to live in your own body the entire, for the rest of your life, as far as I know it, unless they do some scientific stuff that I don't know about. But,
clones.
You know, there is a trans man group that does meet up and do, you know, more powerlifting. And I understand a lot of people are like, I don't want muscles. I just want to be, you know, healthy. I just want to be able to pick up groceries and carry them inside the house, pick up my cat.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's me just picking up my cat.
Strengthen your core muscles so you don't injure your back when you pick up the cat litter.
Yes, exactly.
For our audience out there that doesn't know, Freddie is actually getting close to deadlifting 300 pounds, I saw on his Facebook page. I was like, I can't even imagine.
It's tough.
Yeah, I think he's embarrassed now. He didn't want to brag on himself.
Oh, no. It was a goal, and that's what I tell people, to make goals. I wish, actually, I do have my workout journals with me. I actually write out all my workouts, and I tell all my clients, you need to have a workout journal. Because fitness is a journey, and if you don't know how far you came, then you think you never made progress at all. And most people, when they think of progress, they think of looking in the mirror. Especially as, you know, trans men, we're constantly looking in the mirror, looking for facial hair and things like that. We're like,
well, or just
I think I have a beard. I think I have a whisker. But, you know, even with that, we need to understand that progress is usually slow. It's incremental. As we were talking about at the rally and the visual, you know, things, the little things do count. And if you don't remember what little things you've done, and you keep trying to make big changes but not doing the little things, then we're going to have a whole bunch of issues down the line.
And I find if you start training with a group of other people at the same time, that you often... you're all improving at the same time together. So if someone was better than you at the start, they're still better than you after you've done 6 months, and you feel like you haven't got anywhere because you haven't caught up. But if you then went and trained with another group of beginners, you go, oh wow, I've gained this much compared to where they're starting from.
Oh yeah. And I always tell people, if you struggle with motivation, and typically when I have like couples come in and ask for programs, I try to keep the couples together, because one, accountability. One person can be like, well, you are not trying to go to the gym, well, I'm going to drag you to the gym. So one, someone can drag someone to the gym. But Also, it does unleash a little bit of competitiveness, just a little bit. But especially for groups, if you need that extra push to know that you're getting better, join a group class. I personally love group class because, one, for people that I taught, they're like, well, it feels like you're always staring at me. Well, I'm like, well, you're the only one in class. I sort of have to look at you. I'm like, this is how it works. But it sort of relieves the pressure. You have someone else with you that is going through my, what I call torture. I mean, people love me, but they hate me during the class, but afterwards they love me.
How do you help people get over that feeling of self-doubt or the, oh God, I'm working with the teacher now kind of thing that then makes them screw up and do everything wrong?
It's overthinking. It's usually always overthinking. And I noticed from teaching boxing, people always struggle with making mistakes. And as adults, we're always thinking that we have to get it right the first time. With kids, they just learn it like a sponge because they don't have to worry about embarrassing themselves. They're not even thinking about that. They just go. With adults and teenagers, they're like, well, I don't want to look like this. I was like, you're going to look like a hot mess regardless. It doesn't matter. When you start off with anything, you look like a hot mess. Take it, learn from it, and grow. And that's typically where I tell people, just relax. If this is your first time doing something, why do you expect yourself to excel in it? It's your first time doing something. You know, unless you're a child prodigy, which, unfortunately, I wasn't a child prodigy. you have to learn at it. It takes time to develop skill. And I think with our day and age of everything has to be so instant, we don't take patience with the things that we do, which goes back to my 300-pound deadlift. I'm going to have a lot more patience with my deadlift and sort of go back to my goals. But patience is important because for myself with my deadlift, you know, I need the right gear. And not only that, I need to make sure my form is correct or I'm going to be
in a
wheelchair or something like that with a broken back. So I tell people, have patience. You know, you're learning something new. You're learning about yourself. You're learning how your body moves. You're learning how you prefer to move within a certain movement because not everyone jabs the same way. You know, not everyone has the same tell. So, you know, learn with yourself. Embrace yourself in that moment of, crap, I don't know what I need to do, but I'm going to do something incredible.
So if someone wanted to learn that patience and learn all that correct technique, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, I do have my Instagram. It's at Freddie Marius. And typically my Facebook as well is Freddie Marius Dolphus. Those two places are the best places right now. I am going to try to get a website soon. Hopefully by the new year I will have a website up though.
And Freddie is Freddie.
Yes.
Not
yes.
Y, so...
Yes.
And Marius is Marius.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
And on Transit City and on the 10th Voice Facebook page, you can find the full spelling of his name so you can get in touch with him, stalk him, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you're here. Let's do a little bit of the migration of the microphones, you know, like the swallows returning to Capistrano, because I want to bring in... a guest along with Freddie to talk in a little bit of a round table about a couple of our local transgender events that we had here. We have with us in the studio Safira Pachaliko, whose name I praised so much in the intro there, who is a transgender woman, who is a military veteran, working locally in Kansas City while going to school, really trying to burn the candle at both ends and carve out a new life for herself, who recently attended both the demonstration for transgender rights and the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which I think were the first major transgender events you'd ever attended before. Is that right, Safira?
This is true, Una. Thank you.
Could I get your impression as a person new to this sort of community event, what was your impression of the first event, the demonstration for transgender rights? How did it make you feel?
At first, I was very nervous because the crowd was way bigger than I thought it would be. I'd say about maybe 1,000 people or more. And I soon felt like I belonged there because I found familiar faces, people that I have been journeying with and understanding who they are. There was a strong message of hope. The entire crowd was very encouraging. And there was no one there that was against us. We were very peaceful, and I felt like we learned that we can rely on each other, and there was a bigger family, so I felt like I belonged.
There was one lone guy with a MAGA hat wandering around the outside, but everyone just kind of made fun of him.
It could have been the Make America Gay Again hat.
It could have. And so this was also your first Transgender Day of Remembrance that you went to just this last week. A very solemn ceremony, quite a bit smaller, but much more personal. And so as a newcomer, what emotions did that evoke within you?
Sobriety, reverence. I felt like our community was very tight. There were a lot of solemn faces, and also a lot of familiar faces, too. I realized our crowd was way more larger as we were walking to the church that was very hospitable to us. It seemed like there were a lot of people there who have lost some close friends who have been on this journey for a while. And I definitely felt like the pressure was there to take care of oneself, to better take care of our community, and also for our allies to stand up for us when they can, when we're being mistreated or misgendered.
Now, Freddie, you had the privilege of speaking at both events, and so I wanted you to tell our audience a little bit, what was the message that you conveyed at each event to the crowd?
My message between the two events sort of was a little bit different, yet the same. So pretty much embracing who you are. So one, as a trans person, I need to fully embrace my experience, fully embrace who I am at this point. You know, we're always thinking about the future, but we need to hone in at the present, while also remembering the past, but not get lost in the past. So the first event, I was taken aback by the amount of crowd, because I didn't know it would be that many people. I also got contacted the exact same day, so I was like, oh shoot, I didn't know this many people would be here.
It was a lot.
It was a great crowd, and the thing about the crowds at both events was the kids. I saw youth there, and that is very important, especially as we're, you know, thinking about the future, you know, having the youth there, having them know that, hey, these issues are important going forward is incredible, especially, you know, if they're allies or if they end up, you know, being transgender as well.
I just want a quick inquiry of what youth that you mean. Do you mean just young people, like 18 to 25, or do you mean like under 18?
Under 18. So.
Usually
when I say young people, it's under 18 because, well, I'm 28, so I'm like, I sort of like to cling to my youth, but yesterday with the rain, my knees said no, so I was like, I can't cling to that anymore.
cling to it with both hands and never let go, because it slips away.
Feeling like an old man in the rain yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I was feeling it. So usually when I say youth, it's under 18, and actually I say under the age of, like, 15, just because a lot of parents, they tend to shy away from, you know, having their kids talk about LGBT issues because they think it's nasty or, you know, unnormal.
Or confusing. They don't know how to talk about it when the kids probably already understand it fine from everything that they know from school and people they know there.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much having, you know, having parents that are comfortable bringing their kids is the biggest victory. Because once we start having people being able to talk in their households about the issues, then that's where things actually start producing the change.
Now, Safira, your journey is, I guess, in some senses, a little bit newer than other folks. And you've had a rough time in some ways, and I think one of those ways was getting a good feeling of the community and just how many of us there really are. Did the two transgender events make you feel better about yourself and better about your journey? Did it create more of a sense of community within you?
I had hope that there was a strong feeling of hope. I knew at that moment that there was people I could connect with, like Freddie and yourself, and that I can lean on them when I had no family to lean on, especially back home in Virginia. I've been transitioning for 6 months, and it's been a struggle to love myself through this entire journey and to find people I can lean on and trust when I'm scared.
And I really enjoyed introducing you to as many people as I could, especially a fellow transgender veteran, Colonel Suzanne Wheeler, has been a guest on the show several times, and you seemed almost surprised to meet another transgender veteran. It was really just very a feeling of warmth just watching the two of you communicate with each other with this common background.
Yes, I have missed that camaraderie that I had before I transitioned. And it was really good to meet another vet who has seen combat like myself and understand where we came from and where we're going now and how much we care about our future community.
And I think her speech that she made that night touched on something you said about how important it is for the sense of community and to love yourself as a community and support the community, because she brought up the fact that the numbers at TDOR only count people lost to violence from others. They don't count people in the trans community lost to suicide. And that was a really important point to bring the community together and to think of reaching out to each other.
Yes.
Freddie, I would like to ask you a question, which is something I took from part of your speech at Transgender Day of Remembrance. Looking at the crowd and looking at the people who were able to attend both events, transgender persons of color were very underrepresented in the crowd. What can we do? What are some of the things we could do to change that, to make it more inclusive and to let folks know they can be part of the event and lead the event?
And I was exactly thinking about this before I came in, because some of my friends actually had the same observation. And sadly, this is nothing new in Kansas City, having almost two separate LGBT communities within the LGBT community. As far as solutions, it's a tough one because, you know, we have a lot of, you know, trans men and trans sisters out there that prefer to not, you know, be stealth, so to speak. And I do respect that because, you know, everyone's situations is totally different. As far as trying to get the output, maybe, I'm not sure exactly, maybe trying to actually make a coalition, you know, of LGBT people of color, you know, queer people of color, and constantly have communication back and forth. So when we're having events, our communities are already aware that these events are going on. Because I don't know if they weren't aware or if they had something else going on. I know it was a Tuesday, so, you know, I actually got off of work early. I was able to, you know, take time off of work. Some people may not have that, have that ability to do so. So it's just sort of, you know, looking at our community, seeing, okay, what is our needs? What is keeping us from going to events? And then looking at the events, okay, are these events accessible to people of color? Are they, you know, near transportation? Are they at a venue that is very, you know, inclusive? So it's a lot of things that need to be looked at so we can make sure that we're all coming together as a community.
Anthony, I'd like to ask you, as the youngest person here who attended the Transgender Day of Remembrance, what does the TDR event mean to you, and how did it make you feel that night?
Well, this is the third DTOR that I've been to, and...
TDOR?
TDOR. Trans Day of Remembrance.
Okay.
This is what young people do. They make alliterations of everything. Not alliterations. It's not alliteration. It's the other thing I can't remember the name of.
Abbreviations?
Abbreviation. They abbreviate everything. So this is the third TDOR that I've been to. And every time I do, always try to remember the amount of suicide that is also caused. A lot of the times in youth that are not accepted by anyone and cannot, are not affirmed by anyone and cannot be themselves in their own homes. And especially whenever I was first came to these events, that was a large part that I was surprised by, that the suicide wasn't also a part. Because even though murder and suicide are different, I feel like it's both death in our community, and that Trans Day of Remembrance is about remembering the people that have died for in the trans community for basically no reason, because of hate. And it usually makes me extremely angry in a very... I don't know how to put it, almost in a very raw format, of this simply should not be happening, and it is unacceptable.
It there's so much intersectionality that comes to the forefront when you have a TDOR event. I know, for instance, the issue of post-traumatic stress disorder in veterans comes into play when you have transgender veterans, like our guest Safira, who was in the Marine Corps for 9 years and did 2 tours of Iraq, and has now, in addition to dealing with everything that she's gone through on, you know, on the battlefield, so to speak, now has her own battle against her own home country here as she is trying to live an authentic life as a woman. You know, is that, does that really just pile on to you? I mean, how do you deal with it, Safira?
Well, what I've realized is that I've already been dealing with anxiety and depression and how to manage being triggered. When I started transitioning, it was already anxiety induced. So I had to remind myself that I'm okay, I'm loved. And there are things that I had to set myself aside and say, you know, it's okay. I can pull myself away from the situation because there's really good people out there. And this may be just beyond my own control what they're thinking. So there's a lot of situations where we are engaging in people and it could be a totally different perception. For example, crowds tend to heighten my anxiety, so I have to calm myself and realize that there's no one that's here that's angry at me or coming at me or threatening me. And so I have to realize that and say, I'm loved, I'm not alone.
Feeding on that bit about anxiety and depression, we've already talked with Freddie about how reluctant parents can be to discuss anything about LGBTQIA issues with youth, with their children. And some of the children that have committed suicide was just because they were afraid of coming out to their parents. They didn't even know if the parents would accept them or not. It's so important for parents and any family member to reach out to the youth in their family and just say, even if you don't want to talk about the details, just say, I don't care whether you're gay or lesbian or bi or trans or anything. You're you and you're my family. That would help just so much if they just said that even once a year, I think.
Yeah, I agree. There's just, I just came out to my mother a few weeks ago. It was the toughest thing I have ever had to do in my life. when I was in combat, I was more afraid of screwing up and getting someone else killed. Here, when it's about me and coming out to my mother, I was afraid of losing everything at that point. And I'm just glad I have friends to rely on here. They're like family.
I want to direct a question to Freddie. I've been to a lot of transgender events in Kansas City, around the U.S., even overseas, and I was very impressed with how this grassroots effort came together to create these two events. It was led by a very diverse group of, I don't want to just characterize them as this, but there's another way, very young, motivated folks. Parker Liu, Robin Nazarian, Ingrid, so many people were involved. I mean, it was just, you were involved. I really have to give a shout out. They did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah, they did incredible, especially with the first event. I think they did it within a week. I believe it was like within at least 2 weeks. They got it together, and I was like, oh, shoot, okay.
I'm pretty sure that it was within a week, because we were like, wow, that's fast. I think it was like within 5 days.
Yeah, it popped up on my, I was like, oh, how did I miss this? I was like, how did I miss this? I'm on Facebook all the time. But, you know, it just shows how much, you know, the youth can make a difference. You know, granted, you know, they're college-age, you know, kids. They're younger than me, so they're youth.
Yeah, but, the 20-year-old youth here.
Yeah, but as, you know, it goes back to, you know, the talk that I had at the visual, those little things do matter. You know, they probably thought, you know, maybe 50 people would show up, you know, especially with Facebook, you know, so many people say they would go, and then you sort of have to do the math on who actually will come. But then, you know, they were shocked on, you know, the response of the community. And even maybe at the visual, they were also a little shocked at, you know, how many people decided to come. So I tell people, do the little things. The little things do matter, you know, especially, you know, in our, you know, fight to, you know, get equality, to just be treated as a decent human being, which shouldn't even have to happen. But, you know, here we are.
We're young and furious.
Old and cranky.
I was impressed because they just went ahead and did it. In the past, we've even had TDOR events canceled because so many competing groups have been, you know, squabbling over who's going to get space at the microphone and should we have corporate sponsors and how are we going to do this. But these folks just came together and said, let's just get this done, pull it together, work as a team, and it worked. And I got to say that the TDOR event was the most touching and personal of all the events that I've ever attended.
And I thought they did very good options because they had an outside section where if you're able-bodied and you can stand, then you can be there. But then they had a section at one of the local churches that opened up. So there was a march, so there was procession, so people were visible as being there and not hidden away inside. But there was a part inside where you could sit down that was disabled accessible and made space for everyone to be welcome.
The march down Main Street was well organized and safe, and oh, I also want to give a shout out to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Love seeing them out there. They're mm-hmm.
They're always awesome.
They are fantastic, and they don't get enough credit for the hard work that they do for raising awareness. And it was just good, and I understand from Robin that they're trying to work on another event to come up.
Let's just keep it going.
I know. Keep the momentum going and keep the fire burning, as it were. I have really enjoyed talking with our panel here. I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on the two events and go on into the community calendar with Fiona. Fiona, would you like to go ahead and jump into that?
Certainly. One special event that follows on from TDOR on November 20th. This Sunday, the 25th, the Kansas City United Church of Christ will be memorializing TDOR during their morning service. That starts at 10:30 a.m., and they'll be reading the names during the service as well. If you weren't able to attend the TDOR event, this may give you another option. It's also possible other trans-affirming churches in the city may be doing the same. And KCUCC is at 205 West 65th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And speaking of energy and passion and driving things forwards, there is a drive to actually put in place rainbow crosswalks and transgender crosswalks on the crosswalks around the city.
They were in the crossroads area,
which is why I keep saying crosswalks.
Well, they were talking about having the rainbow crosswalk right here at 39th and Main, literally like 50 feet away from where we're sitting right now, and the transgender crosswalk down Main Street on Cleaver Boulevard, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And if anyone wants any extra information about that, or if they want to volunteer to help with the effort or sign the petition at all, you can email kansascityarts@gmail.com, and that will get you in touch with the people organizing it so you can volunteer to help or find out how to sign the petition or anything along those lines. And that they're trying to strike while the iron's hot and get everyone moving and get petition signatures out there. And then another thing coming up very shortly is December 1st, there'll be a fire and ice masquerade ball benefiting the Kansas City Center for Inclusion. If you're interested in tickets and more details, go to lgbtmasquerade.yapsody.com. That's spelled like Rhapsody but with a Y at the start instead. And all of these links and information will be on the 10th Voice Facebook page at 2 o'clock. It will pop up like magic after the show's over.
It's amazing how that happens. Of course, Yapsody doesn't have an H in it. Otherwise, you'd have to say it with a Yapsody, like Stewie doing cool whip. Yes.
Yeah, we just owned up to the fact we watch Family Guy. I'm not sure we should be proud of that.
Forgive me, I'm old.
And cranky. And I just made Linda laugh, which is a good day. So, the Equal Trans Support Group, since I already mentioned the KCCI, they meet at KCCI, and they have the third Thursday at 5 p.m. for the start of their group meeting. And that's just a couple of doors down from our station at 3909 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And every month I lead the Kansas City Sofa Group for Significant Others, Friends, Family, and Allies of Transgender and Non-Binary Persons. We meet on the first and third Wednesday of the month, and in December that's the 5th and the 19th in the conference room at Leawood Pioneer Library at 6:30 p.m. And you can find this and lots more other support groups and events on our Facebook page at 2 p.m.
Well, thank you all for joining into Trans Talk, this week's edition of the 10th Voice. I want to give special thanks to our guests, Freddie Dolphus, Safira Pachuloiko, the wonderful musical name, our co-hosts Fiona and Anthony, and our sound engineer and producer Linda Wilson, and to all of our listeners out there. Remember that you can always send an email with your thoughts and suggestions to the10thvoice@gmail.com. Next up, stay tuned for This Way Out, followed by Wings and then Every Woman with me, Fiona, Anthony, and Marvita Oliver. And be sure to join the 10th Voice next weekend as well, Saturday at 1 p.m. for more discussion of LGBT topics and events that shape our lives and our world. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.